From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of January 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us as well. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll check in on the news from Arkansas, where the plant board yesterday made a decision as it's related to dicamba and its initial ban on that product from April 16th to October 31st for use in the state. We'll also hear about an AFBF-NFU collaboration on rural health care. And that'll all happen right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the marketplace. We're joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Waco, Texas with Zwicker Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Dan. I hope you had a great holiday.
Sure did, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Is your weather any better there than ours here?
Well, yeah, it is a little better, but I'm down at the Rio Grande Valley, so I'm only 5 miles from Mexico, and we finally went above 60 degrees today. So actually, we're a little warmer than South Florida today, so I'm kind of happy to see that.
Hey, I want to know what you're not happy and what you are happy to see as the year closed out, technically that is, in the marketplace, and as it has begun. It's kind of been a wild ride for the soybeans, up and down a lot over the last week and a half.
Yeah, soybeans have been, you know, for the month of December, it was just steadily grind downward. Now the last 10 days or so, we've kind of turned sideways and have gotten a little choppy as worries about the South American weather pattern has kind of come into play. It seems like the weather forecasts in the short run, I guess, are calling for some moderate showers or maybe some light showers, but longer range models indicate that maybe there's not much in them in the long run. So I think the soybean market, that has kind of stopped the skid in the soybean market, at least for right now. The corn market kind of basically had a sideways affair during the month of December. We kind of rallied the last couple weeks, and the last week we kind of went sideways, and now we're kind of under pressure here at the start of the year. I think a lot of it is, well, number one, we still have too much supply based upon what the perceived demand factor is on both corn and soybeans. Unless we get into a major weather problem here in South America in the next couple of months, or maybe something happens here in North America. But there's a lot of talk in the trade as we look forward toward that January crop report, which is out, I think, a week from tomorrow. And a lot of people feel that weekly export sales, at least during the first quarter, have been slow enough that they kind of look for USDA to maybe reduce some of those export projections. There's a common belief out there that maybe the corn yield and soybean yield could move up slightly in the January report. But whatever the case is, they're kind of looking ahead and thinking USDA is going to show larger ending stocks levels. So I think that's kind of what's got into the market right now, because there's really not a whole lot to talk about. And we'll just have to kind of see what USDA does. I'm always one that believes the market kind of tells you what the report's probably going to say. And I guess since soybeans declined through December, since the December 1st stock survey went out, that would imply to me that maybe we do have larger soybean stocks around than what maybe people thought. So that could argue for an increase in production. But you look at the corn market for the most part has been sideways since December 1st. So if that's the case, I would say that there's probably not a lot of big changes coming in the corn market. With the wheat market's actually been a little higher. So I'd indicate that maybe the wheat report might be a little friendly, but it's hard to get wheat friendly with its carryout projection that we've had in wheat for the last several years.
So you're not going to take the opposite view of the marketplace? Oftentimes you do, but this time around you agree because the market's been trading what I guess you would consider a higher carryout for both corn and soybeans. And right, just as a reminder, we're at 445 million at the moment for soybeans on our carryout, 2.437 billion for the corn market.
Yeah, the problem with those numbers, you know, a 100 million drop in corn or even a 200 million drop in corn doesn't really shake up the balance sheet any. And that same way with soybeans, you could drop soybeans 50 million. And you're really not shaking the balance sheet up. I mean, there's still plenty of corn and beans for sale. So I guess that's probably one of the reasons why I'm not taking an opposite view, at least going into this report. But I do think, you know, when you look at weather, we are in that La Nina phase, and that has had a tendency in the past to kind of ding up South American weather crop prospects. And so far, it does look like Argentina might be getting dinged up a little bit. We just don't know to what extent it's going to be. We still have another month or 2 months to go in the weather market for them down there. And then, of course, when we turn our focus here to the United States, the further we get away from 2012, I think the odds begin to increase that we are going to have a weather issue, because if you look over history, every 5 to 7 years or so, we do have a weather problem here in North America that changes the balance sheet. So statistically, you'd have to say, you know, there is reasons to believe that supply could be shortened up somewhere here along the line. But you also got to give credit to, I guess, the seed companies with their genetics. The type of yields that we're able to pump out of corn and soybeans now are just unreal compared to actually when I first got started in this business. So we'll have to see. But, you know, acres, I don't see acres changing much next year. If anything, I would maybe see some more bean acres because the beans have been a little more profitable than corn, a little cheaper crop to put in. You know, if it's farmable, the odds are it's going to be farmed. And somebody's going to do it. It may not necessarily be the guy that's currently farming it, but it will be farmed. So I see acres. And then it's all about whether or not 2018 is going to be that year that we have some weather adversities in it to sharpen to lower crop prospects. But we're back to the point where our ending stocks are fairly large. And I know I did read an article, I think, put out either by Scott Irwin or someone there at the University of Illinois, that comparing this period to when it was in 1980, it took 6 years for the market to find the bottom. And we're only 5 years into this one, so we could be another year or two down. What the difference is, back in 86, we went to a massive set-aside acreage, too, and then we had the drought in 88, and that's what pulled us out of that hole, was we had market clearing levels, we moved our inventory into the marketplace, and then we had set-asides. We don't have set-asides nowadays. So I guess the only hope is that we would have like another 1988 come along to shorten up our supplies like it did in the 80s.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to talking to you in about 40 minutes for our Commodity Week program. You and Michael Cordonier will be there along with Pete Manhart, and we should have a really good conversation.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, let's start in Washington, D.C., where there won't be a whole lot of money to write a new farm bill this year, so farm bill writers are expected to focus on fixing, with limited dollars, a handful of 2014 bill problems, says Public Policy Executive Director at the American Farm Bureau Federation, Dale Moore.
Trying to move cotton in some form or fashion back into Title I a little more fully. Addressing the dairy issues and the shortcomings of the margin protection program, and trying to take care of those, particularly for the smaller dairy farmers. And then certainly, you know, the disparities that we've seen in different parts of the countries, county to county, relative to the ARC county payments, I think they've got those in hand, and that's just on Title I.
Other titles will also be key.
You've got crop insurance work we know they've been doing, and I think we're going to see a lot more attention and focus on the conservation title as well. So the work is underway, and it also, you've got to keep in mind that, you know, our leadership on the House and Senate Agriculture Appropriations subcommittees have been taking a look at these issues and, you know, figuring out how they might help, whether it's on disaster assistance or other provisions to help bridge, help fill in some of the gaps on the bridge planks as we get through, another tough year in agriculture.
Farmers have endured nearly 5 years of low commodity prices and rising input costs. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., where President Donald Trump continues to threaten to withdraw from NAFTA, or the North American Free Trade Agreement, and that's putting transportation jobs at risk. Politico reports that thousands of transportation jobs up and down the Mississippi River and across truck and rail networks are at stake, including those involved in the shipment of agricultural products. Mexico imported some $3.6 billion of wheat, corn, and other cereal grains from the United States last year. Meanwhile, nearly two-thirds of U.S. NAFTA freight is carried by trucks, according to the Transportation Department. Finally, tearing up NAFTA would have a huge impact on railroads, according to the Association of American Railroads. At least 42% of all rail cars are directly associated with overall international trade, and approximately 50,000 rail jobs are dependent on international trade. And finally today, the Arkansas Plant Board voted not once, but twice yesterday to maintain a plan to ban the use of dicamba in the state between April 16 and October 31. The board and a committee with oversight on the issue both voted to stay the course it set back in November. The votes were retaken because last month, a committee of the Arkansas State Legislature refused to give its approval and asked the plant board to reconsider some details in the ban. That panel, the Legislative Council Subcommittee on Rules and Regulations, will meet later this month to review the board's Wednesday decision. Nearly 1,000 herbicide drift complaints were lodged against dicamba-based herbicides in Arkansas last season. Complaints were heavy in Missouri and Illinois, too. Agriculture secretaries in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Missouri have instituted calendar date or temperature-based bans as well. Dicamba, originally developed as a corn herbicide about five decades ago, is now also used to control weeds in fields planted to cotton and soybeans that have been genetically altered to resist it. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, you know, the nation's two largest farm organizations are teaming up to help rural communities overcome the opioid epidemic. Michael Clements from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting has more.
The American Farm Bureau Federation and National Farmers Union this week announced Farmtown Strong, a campaign to help rural communities struggling with the opioid epidemic. The campaign will help provide resources and information regarding opioids to farm communities. USDA Assistant to the Secretary for Rural Development, Ann Haslett, says the campaign helps address the lack of resources available in rural America.
As rural families look where to turn, AFBF and NFU have certainly taken a big step in announcing the FarmTownStrong.org website. This is a tremendous resource that really helps put a human face and a basic understanding on what is a complex and often overwhelming issue.
A recent joint report by AFBF and NFU found rural communities have been overwhelmingly impacted by the epidemic.
The impact in rural America has been particularly monumental. The report released last fall confirms three in four farmers have been directly impacted by the opioid epidemic. This information builds on an October release by the Centers for Disease Control, which said that overdose deaths in rural areas have now exceeded those in urban centers.
She says collaboration between groups like AFBF and NFU will help rural communities to address and overcome the challenge.
It will take commitment, collaboration, and creativity from a wide range of federal, state, and local partners to address. Rural communities are strong, and the strengths of our towns can overcome this crisis.
AFBF and NFU will hold public events to share resources starting at the 2018 AFBF Annual Convention and Idea Ag Trade Show in Nashville, Tennessee. Michael Clements, Washington.
We're now joined by Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain marketplace. Thanks, Matt, for being with us this afternoon. I want to start with the futures markets, actually, for the day. Soybeans put in a pretty impressive turnaround. They were down, I think, about 9 cents at one time, but ended nearly even to just a penny lower. What happened there?
Well, it definitely seems to me that after recently, you know, the funds may be going a little bit short, there's more and more talk about, you know, the weather issue that everyone thought basically wasn't materializing, actually has got a little more legs than maybe what some people think. So whenever you look at Argentina, some of the dryness issues they've got, and some of the forecasts are actually for hot and dry again. I don't know, maybe we're going to get a little weather market going again.
If we do get that kind of weather market going, how much of an upside potential do you think it is? And I know it depends a lot on how much of a weather market is there, but we just have a really big fundamental carryover for soybeans, not only in the United States, but across the planet.
Right. I mean, the thing is, with both corn and soybeans, we have to understand any rally we get, yeah, I mean, you're going to have a significant amount of hedge pressure. There's no question that you're going to have a lot of producers waiting to sell, whether it's in North America or South America. You know, they're going to be coming online here in the next 4 to 6 weeks on their new harvest. There's no question that any rally that you get will be met with fairly stiff selling. So I really don't see any large-scale rally, at least in the short run.
What are you telling producers when they call in, and how far along are they on both their corn and soybean sales?
Well, you know, producers are not very far along on new crop sales. Old crop sales, I mean, unfortunately, are not very far along on those either, a lot of folks. We've definitely been strongly advocating selling a fair amount of your corn and beans, especially everything that's in commercial storage. I think new crop, you know, a lot of our producers are up 50% or more sold on new crop soybeans. And then on corn, you know, when we were $3.90 to $4, depending on the producer and their situation, you know, we got up to 25-30% sold. But again, in those situations, we're probably going to be looking to cover some of those sales just in case we end up being wrong on down the road, and we do end up having maybe an acreage shortfall on corn combined with maybe a weather situation.
Okay, thanks so much, and we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
Of course, this is Matt Bennett with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds from Windsor, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. We'll start in Argentina. We're joined by Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, I take it that Argentine farmers are still suffering from dry conditions. What do we know about things and prospects there?
Well, if we look at rainfall over the last 60 days, so we're talking about a two-month time frame, our proprietary application shows us that 93% of first crop corn production was drier than normal over that period, as well as 88% of soybean production. That tells us that nearly the entire growing belt was drier than normal over the last 60 days. So we're going to need some big rains here coming up in the future. Part of the reason, though, that overall concern is not a little bit higher than it could be is simply because there were some rains here and there that started up in the middle of December. Now, some of those rains did affect the key growing areas of Cordoba, Santa Fe, and into parts of Buenos Aires. But a lot of the other areas did not receive too much rain. And once you look at it all and put it all together, you still make the same conclusion. They need more rain in Argentina, not only for corn and soybeans, but especially for sunflowers. Sunflowers are primarily grown in La Pampa and southwest Buenos Aires, and that area missed most of these rains since mid-December. So, Todd, we just need a lot of rain. Now, there is going to be a little bit of thunderstorm activity over the next 24 to 36 hours that will affect some of those drier southern areas in Buenos Aires. But other than that, we don't think there will be too much in the way of rainfall outside of that small region. And the reason is simply because humidity levels are not all that high. We'd like to see the air a little bit juicier to make for some big rains. Once we get beyond the next 24 to 36 hours, it basically stays dry for about 1 week. We will start to see some heat as well as we get into Monday and Tuesday, and then things start to change a little bit come late next week and late next weekend, so say about a week to 10 days from now. At that point in time, we'll start to see some thunderstorms here and there, but as noted, these storms are going to need to verify and they're going to need to be heavy. One thunderstorm is not going to wipe out a 60-day rainfall problem, so we're going to need to see some big rains. At this point, we feel comfortable with around 1 inch of rain in 7 to 10 days from now. But again, we're going to need more than that. Whether or not all of this comes to fruition is just going to take a little bit more time. If we start to see some big rains, then everything we talked about will be somewhat negated. But if it doesn't rain, then this will all come to the forefront.
On the flip side of this, in the United States, it's been really cold. Are there any concerns with the weather here?
Well, temperatures have been unusually cold. I mean, we all know that, having been outside over the last week or so. There is going to be a warm-up, though, and that begins on Sunday, and then it really begins in about a week from now. We'll see high temperatures soaring by the end of next week, possibly even into the 40s and 50s in Illinois, so a big change is on the way. Now, whether or not it lasts is a good question, but from all indications of what we're seeing, it looks like once we get beyond the next 5 to 7 days, the warmer weather will be here to last. And when we say last, we mean 14 days into the future or so. Once we get beyond January 15th to 20th, a little hard to forecast that far out. But all signs point to the Arctic air leaving the U.S. and then not returning until sometime possibly later this month or February. But again, at this point in time, we don't have any real big hints of it coming back.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather. He is in Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.